Hello, everybody. This is a little message from me, Sam Lake, before you enjoy this episode. I just wanted to say thank you so much for everyone who has downloaded, watched, streamed the podcast so far. The response has been so overwhelming, so lovely, and we've got more exciting episodes and things and little bits coming your way very soon. I've got a little request to make of you. If you do enjoy this show, then please consider giving us a review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, preferably a 5-star if you've got it in you. And if it asks you to leave a little message, anything longer than 5 words would be lovely. That does sound specific, but basically what it does is it takes the algorithm, the dirty little algorithm, and it pinches the algorithm in that little sweet spot, and it gets the algorithm it gets the algorithm wet. It moistens the algorithm, it lubes it up so that we can get the podcast into the ears of many more people, which would be lovely. It sounds more graphic than it actually is, but that's enough from me. Thank you again, and enjoy this episode.
You know, some people age like a fine wine, and some people age like a can of special brew left on a hot windowsill. Whichever one you are, get ready to talk about those pesky little emotions of yours, because it's time for another episode of I've Had a Rosé, Let's Talk About Feelings. Please welcome your host, Sam Lake.
It was me the whole time.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of I've Had a Rosé, Let's Talk About Feelings. I'm your host, Sam Lake. Very excited for today's episode because both drink and guest are wonderful. Let us welcome the wonderful Josh Glanz.
Hello. Wow, Sam, that was a very lovely introduction. When you were talking to the camera, I didn't know where to look, though. I was kind of doing this. I was like, I stared at that knob on the cupboard.
Talking about a drawer, not a small man in the corner. That would be rude.
No.
I do think it's weird for the guest on this show because you have 2 cameras at you and I only have 1. So you've got more pressure.
Well, I can just ignore the cameras, but sometimes I watch interviews of people that aren't familiar with performing, and they're often, and I just became self-conscious because I was doing exactly what they do, which is kind of like when a host is talking to the camera, they kind of, they don't really know where to look. This must be riveting for the people listening to this.
They get what they get, you know? I mean, that's what they deserve. This is available as a visual medium
What's it available on? YouTube?
It's available on everything. At moment of recording, we haven't released a single episode because that happens next week.
Yes.
But it's available on all platforms.
But when someone will be listening to this, it will be. They could pause it right now.
They could.
And open up their browser and type in www.monkeybarrelcomedy.
I mean, it might be there. I'm not sure. I don't think we have a website yet. Should I have got a website for this?
No. YouTube's good enough.
But if they want to know what we both look like right now, they can find out.
Yes.
If they're driving, though, they should pull over first.
And then
responsible.
I'm glad you're thinking of their safety.
I am.
I was going to say, if you're listening to this and you don't know what we look like, we've got one thing in common.
Yes.
Which is a bit more, it's not as obvious now because I don't want to say too much.
Okay.
But if you're listening to this and you don't know what we look like, have a guess what we have in common and then go and open up YouTube and play the episode and see if you're correct.
Can I say something that I think someone shouted at you during one of the shows that we did last night?
I know, but I couldn't hear, but yes.
Because they said you looked like Mario on crack, and yeah. I said I looked like Luigi on poppers, which I think is quite nice.
Who did you say that to?
Same man. I don't think he was paying attention.
Oh, did you? Oh.
I think you, I don't know.
Wait, you said that at your, on, did I go on before you?
I think so, because I came from doing the solo show and then joined in with the 7 o'clock show.
The 7 o'clock show was weird.
Wasn't it strange?
But how lovely was we? You did 9.
9 was,
9 was beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Oh.
Gorgeous. You've been here quite a few days.
I've been here for a while.
Since Wednesday.
Yeah, since Wednesday.
On the whole, have you had a nice time?
Oh, incredible.
Good.
I mean, this is the best comedy club in the world. Can we do a sound effect there afterwards?
I agree. They also pay for all of this, so I should probably be like, thank you, Daddy.
They're the best.
Yeah, lovely. Well, that's good. Thank you for carving out some time to come into the the studio.
No problem.
And chat. Let's talk about your drink first.
Mm.
Very good choice of drink.
Thank you. I'm glad you think that because, you know, it is a drink choice that often gets ridiculed.
We were saying before how you said some people judge you for this choice of drink, but I wouldn't.
Well, it's... You wouldn't because I think what we were talking about before indicated you're the type of person maybe similar to me that like some people say like I once ordered a cider at a bar.
Okay.
And someone turned to me and said, I didn't know you drank cider.
Interesting.
And I thought, and I was like, I don't drink cider. I don't not drink cider. Today, I want a cider.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's kind of a bit of a philosophy of mine.
Because there's always the question of like, what's your drink of choice?
Yeah.
And it becomes part of your personal brand. And if you stick to one drink, then everyone's just like, oh, that's the cider man.
Yeah. I'm very much against that as like a general philosophy of life.
You're fluid.
Yes.
When it comes to fluids.
I'm fluid. Yeah.
I think that's very... It's too woke. I can't handle it.
I'm on the fluid spectrum.
But cider is not what we have today. We've got a lovely little bit of Baileys.
Yes.
On the rocks, because you found some ice in the kitchen, which we didn't know was there.
Yeah. Because I'm also a little bit snobby.
Okay, so you wouldn't... If ice weren't available, would you not have had the Baileys?
I would have had the Baileys, sure.
You'd have had it.
But it is nicer that I was able to find some ice.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know... It unlocks the flavours.
I was just going to say, do you think it changes the flavour?
Yeah.
I think you are right. There's something about it being chilled that does something to it. Oh, what a lovely bit of ASMR for the listeners. Don't have to pull over the car for that. Enjoy.
I'm just sipping my Baileys now. Oh, that's good. That was a good little slurp.
That's lovely. But it is so drinkable.
It's so lovely. And
so drinkable.
And I'm not a big... drinker, you know, sometimes I'll drink, sometimes I won't, but I'm not like someone that like will seek out a drink in order to drink kind of a thing.
No.
I feel like drinking, I'll drink. If I don't, I don't.
Very much. Yes.
But Baileys is a nice palatable drink. It's something that I can just have. But I often do get a bit of a look when I order it sometimes.
That's so weird.
Because it's an old man drink.
I was going to say, I think of it as a Christmas drink.
Yeah.
I've got a friend, we both do this, when it's Christmas Day, replace anything that you were going to have with milk with Baileys. Put it in your tea, put it in your coffee, put it in your cereal, whatever.
Lovely.
And because it's Christmas Day and everyone's indulging, who's to say... Go for it.
I love that. I think that is a very Northern Hemisphere thing. I don't think it's associated with Christmas in the Southern Hemisphere. I am Jewish, so I probably have no idea what I'm talking about. It's not something that, because we're outside having a barbecue, so we're not really.
On a hot day, I can't imagine.
No, you don't really want a Baileys on
You don't
hot
want
day.
A creamy beverage.
No.
No. No, no, no.
No.
That's
Although, I'll take a chocolate milkshake.
Really? Have you ever put Baileys in the milkshake?
Yeah, I think so.
A hard shake.
I think I've done that. Yeah. A hard shake, yeah.
Yeah.
A hard shake.
Yeah. I put it in a white chocolate milkshake.
Ooh.
Reference on a previous episode of the show. The white chocolate milkshake, I think you have to get from M&S because it's fancy.
That sounds good.
It's really good.
We had something, I don't know if you had this, we had something growing up called a spider. Have you heard of this?
No, what's
okay,
that?
It's definitely a thing from the 90s in Australia that 90s Australian kids know. You have like a soda drink, like a Coke or a Fanta or a Sprite or something like that. And then you put ice cream in it. It's ice cream and then you pour.
Like an ice cream. I think we call them a float. Yeah.
A float. You call that a float?
Yeah.
A Coke float. Yeah.
Cool. We call it a spider.
Loved a Coke float back in the day. Or you get, there's a, do you know the Everyman Cinema?
No.
It's like a normal cinema, but it's like fancy. And there's like two seats.
And it's called
service.
The Everyman Cinema.
It's for the Everyman Cinema.
But
except
it's fancy.
The only men that it caters to are people with lots of money.
Interesting.
But if you get to go in there, you can order yourself a float with Cherryade.
Oh.
Scoop of vanilla in a cherry soda. I know.
I will say,
before we move on to the topic, because you've reminded me, and maybe you can tell me if this is a Southern Hemisphere thing as well, there was a drink that was essentially fizzy milk. And I can't remember what it was called, but I used to work with a guy who was obsessed with the idea of fizzy milk to the point where he was like, how do you not have it over here? So we bought a soda stream so that he could carbonate
milk,
flavoured milk and make fizzy
and
milk.
And he was from the Southern Hemisphere. Where is he from?
I think New Zealand.
Oh, yeah, it's a New Zealand thing.
It's a New Zealand thing.
I've never heard of it.
Would you have a fizzy milk?
No, not necessarily, but maybe I would. I don't know. I'm someone that, you know, when it comes to like food and beverage, I've always said there's nothing that I don't eat.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
I feel like there's a sexual undertone of everything that we're talking about.
I didn't pick up on it whatsoever.
I'm sorry.
You can get egg whites in some cocktails.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm a huge, because the choice, if it wasn't Bailey's, my go-to drink, if I am going to have a go-to drink.
Go on.
I love whiskey. I love bourbon. I love, you know, so I love an old fashioned. And I love a whiskey sour.
Yeah.
But I love an old fashioned.
That's the only thing I'll have whiskey in a cocktail. I couldn't have whiskey on its own.
Oh, yeah. I can drink whiskey on its own.
Oh, really? Too burny.
I don't know. It's so weird. It's weird how we're made. Like, I get such terrible hangover. I can have a pint of beer. See, I'm deadly serious. I can have a pint of beer and for whatever reason, you know, probably based on my diet that day or how much water I've had or whatever, I can wake up the next morning and really feel like I've got a hangover.
From just one?
From one pint of beer.
Yeah.
But I can drink a lot of whiskey and feel pretty okay. It's okay. Weird, right? Is that weird?
No, I don't think it's weird because I think I'd be the same. I could have a few gins of an evening and wake up the next day and function just fine.
Yeah.
But a beer or two hits differently. And I want to say it's the yeast.
Yes.
I think it's the yeast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess if it's a good whiskey, then it's like a very clean spirit. I don't know. I've got no idea what I'm talking about.
But. Ever since Cheryl Cole nearly died of malaria and she was talking about how she came down with it and she thought she was just really hungover.
Oh my God,
actually she had malaria.
I don't know who Cheryl Cole is, but let's keep talking.
Oh, she's a singer from the band Girls Aloud.
Okay.
I don't think they had much success outside of the UK.
Right.
But she was a judge on The X Factor as well. She was quite big here back in the day.
And she died of malaria.
She didn't die of malaria. Perish the thought. She got malaria and it was a big thing. It was a huge thing back in the day where everyone thought she was about to die of malaria. She didn't. But she thought she was just really hungover because she'd been out the night before.
Right.
And she was drinking vodka sodas. And somebody told her that if she had had gin and tonics that night instead, there's something about the quinine in the tonic, I think, in tonic water,
right,
that would have helped manage the symptoms of the malaria and help keep them at bay.
Wow.
So now I think gin and tonic is maybe like my go-to just standard drink. Yeah,
just in case. You never know.
I never know when I've been near a mosquito and not known it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it, you know, it's spreading malaria.
It really is. You can't get vaccinated against malaria, can you?
No,
but you can have a couple of gins.
You can have a couple of gins, yes. Right. Well, I feel like the chat is already very loose. Shall we get moving on to your chosen subject?
Yeah, let's do it.
You've gone broad.
Very broad. Very broad.
You've decided you want to talk about family.
Yes.
Yes.
In response to
what gets you emotional.
What I get emotional. Yeah.
Yeah. So
because it's a you know it's a variety of emotions.
Yeah. So many.
So I'm not being specific.
Yeah.
But the topic and the people evoke
both
strong reactions.
Yeah. 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 And it's interesting because I haven't said to everybody like I just say to people, think of something that gets you emotional and we'll talk about it. Mm. But people have taken it upon themselves to not go, oh, emotional means sad. Emotional can mean lots of different things.
Totally.
Because obviously family, whole plethora of emotions there.
Totally.
So first question, do you have a family?
No, that's why they get,
interesting.
That's why it gets me emotional.
Interesting. Okay.
Because I wish I did. I do have a family.
You do have a family.
Yeah.
Great.
Doesn't everyone have a family?
In theory, yes.
But in practice?
Well, I don't know.
In
practice. I was going to say this later, but obviously the concept of a chosen family is
more prevalent now.
Mm.
You know, a chosen family of people that you choose to associate your everyday goings on with, like they become your family, even if you're not blood relatives or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that, but mm-hmm. the idea that we like the, like that's a response, that concept
it's a response.
Is a response to the kind of, the emotional turmoil that family, you know, inflicts on us all.
I'm just going to have like, another sip of Bailey's.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the idea that you can, like that, like, you know, the, you know, they're not walking around in the 1800s going, well, you can choose your family. You know what I mean? Like this is not,
yeah.
this is a very like progressive.
Very progressive.
Concept.
So
that's
when,
coming about obviously because
yeah.
we've all got major issues with our families.
Huge issues, both daddy and mummy.
Mm.
Both types. There it is. So what was it that made you, was there something in particular about either your family or the concept of a family that made you want to talk about it today?
I think about family a lot.
Yeah.
I think about family heavily and I'm making a new show and I'm wondering, I think maybe that's why, because I'm wondering how much the new show has to do with family.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I have moved to London.
Sure.
And my family, non-chosen, the blood type, the one that birthed me, they're in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the distance from them has me thinking about, like, that relationship. Also, like, I'm from a Jewish family.
Right.
Which, you know, roughly translates to mean that everyone in it is crazy.
Sure. You can
not
say
me,
that.
Not me.
I won't.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's something that's probably shared between a lot of like family-centric cultures. Like,
yeah.
You know.
We just had Eleanor Morton on last week and she brought up the idea of Catholic guilt.
Right.
Which I didn't associate with myself because I wasn't raised Catholic, but my mum was.
Yes.
And then she was pointing out all of the stuff that I do that actually might be a result of being raised by someone who was raised with Catholic
right.
values.
Right.
So I think someone in a Catholic family would also go like, yeah, my family's crazy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe every family's crazy. Maybe that's the point. But
maybe.
But like my, it's certainly important to have a close family in it's I would say
mm-hmm.
that the absolute essence of kind of being Jewish is family,
right?
Like I would say that's kind of what it's kind of all about.
Yeah.
So I've definitely grown up with a complex about that. Yeah, it's you know, without getting too boring about it, but it's a very important
yeah.
It's a very important part of the culture. So,
you think you were raised with sort of very strong family values to from the off?
In very strong. We would have, you know, you have family dinner every Friday night.
Oh, interesting.
And
yeah.
you know, like you know, that was a, you couldn't miss that. That mm-hmm. was like a given. So
you
every
have
Friday
to come
night,
back every Friday.
Yeah, and when I you know started when I went to uni, I would always come and have. Like, yeah, I have to have dinner on Friday night.
Mm.
And even when I started working full time, it was still like I was definitely made to feel guilty if I wasn't coming back for Friday night dinner.
Yeah.
So the idea of being close with your family is a very important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. So, yeah, that's – so it's kind of that – I've grown up with that kind of shtick about having a family and also like – having kids and the importance of that and all that
yeah.
type of stuff.
Of course, yeah.
Mm.
Do you think, I think this is a question, an interesting question to ask someone of comedy,
mm.
a person of comedy.
Mm.
Do you associate your sense of humour with any particular person in your family?
Yeah, I'm. My dad was very funny.
You think you get it from your dad?
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. And he's passed away, but mm-hmm. he was very funny.
Right.
And I think I definitely get it from him.
Do you think, was he funny in a way that was like he wanted to be funny and make other people laugh, or just his natural self was what was funny and made you laugh?
No, he had funny bones.
Funny bones,
but he was a performer. Like he was, as in, he was, it wasn't like he was an idiot that didn't realize how funny he was.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? There are those people that
like are, a sitcom dad.
Like a sitcom dad.
Yeah.
He was very funny. Like, you know, he could have easily have been a stand-up or been a performer or, yeah, he was really, really talented.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting because I think I get my sense of humor from my mum.
Right.
But I think it's the other way, is that I don't think my mum necessarily had funny bones. I think she was a funny person and didn't know it.
Didn't know it?
And didn't know it. I'd say the two people in my family, there's like a trio, me, my mum and my brother. We all made each other laugh. But I think for me, it's maybe a generational thing. My mum moved to the UK from Spain. So a lot of the things that we found funny were her misunderstandings of English culture.
Yes.
And then when my brother was born, because he was born, there's a 12-year age gap between us.
Oh, wow.
So in the same way my mum could look at me and find stuff that I was doing funny, I could look at my brother in the same way and find that funny because there's like a similar gap between generations. And I just thought that was a fun thing. And then the three of us together would make each other laugh a lot. Sure.
But you didn't think she knew that she was being funny. You thought it was kind of like there wasn't an awareness of it.
I don't think she knew she was necessarily being funny. I do think she did grow up maybe wanting to be a performer, but maybe hadn't worked out what yet. Because it's funny, because I'm writing a show about my mum for this year's Fringe. Yeah, I remember she sort of like in her 30s when she had me and my brother and she was with my stepdad. That's when she started like sort of trying new things. Like she was a belly dancer for a bit.
Oh, wow.
Then she like wanted to like get into marathon running and like she did a lot of things. But
she had ADHD.
Oh, I don't think Spanish people have that. I don't think that exists there.
Okay.
They get vaccinated. I think she was I think she was the type of person who was like, if someone needs to make themselves sort of like look a bit silly for the benefit of everyone else, then feeling okay to look a bit silly.
Yeah.
I think she was that type of person.
Okay.
And I think that's where the humor comes from, I think. Not to say I don't get any from my dad, but it's like a different, it's like a different type. I don't know. Mm. My dad enjoys humor that's very like set up punchline. Dad jokes. He likes dad jokes. And then my mum, a bit more alt, a bit more quirky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
A bit more monkey barrel.
She's very monkey barrel. She's very barrel. She's very barrel coded. Yeah. So, do you come from a big family?
So I'm the oldest of three kids.
Okay, right.
My dad had a lot of brothers and sisters who all had children.
Right.
So on his side of the family, there were a lot of cousins.
You got a lot of cousins, yeah.
Okay. And then my mom's brother had four or five kids. So I grew up around a lot of cousins.
Okay.
But I'm the oldest of my siblings. Mm-hmm. So I'm the firstborn of my, on my mom's side, I'm the firstborn.
So there's three of you. Do you think it's true what they say about like oldest, youngest, middle child syndrome?
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, I definitely was brought up a lot more with a lot more neuroses because, like, you know, the oldest is like, you know, as a lot of my friends with kids say, that the middle ones are just, they're just so much more relaxed about the middle.
Uh-huh.
And then the middle is a bit more chilled.
A bit more chill. Yeah.
My brother's 10 years younger than me. Uh-huh. So that's a huge gap. So we've kind of grown up in like very different generations.
I think that makes the difference, doesn't it? Because I think if my brother and I were born like closer together, I don't know if we'd have gotten on. We've still gotten on well, obviously, but we might not have gotten on as well as we do. Because it feels like we both, I feel like the age gap lets you both have the freedom to explore who you are without then also sort of like having someone else sort of do it at a similar time. It's like you become your own person and then you sort of help bring up
That's good.
The next sibling.
That's good. Me and my brother, who's older?
I'm the older one.
You're the older one.
Yeah.
So me and my brother only now just kind of becoming a little bit closer. But previously,
okay,
we did not have a close relationship at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to say why? You don't have to.
I don't know. I think I always wanted one, but just the age gap was quite big.
That's interesting.
And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why.
And it's you that's the older one.
I'm the older one.
So did you, like, when you left home to go start, like, forging your own career, living your own life, I assume he was still at home. So then was there, like, a period where, well, I guess because you come back, you say you come back quite often for your family dinners and stuff. But I guess with me and my brother, I left uni when he was about 6.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of his like younger years that I felt like I missed out on because I wasn't around home as much because I went to uni quite far away. So he sort of did his own growing up and then I got to know him a bit later a few years on, sort of as like a different person
I
still have the memories of him as a younger person. Is that similar
to
you?
I think that's nice. I think one of the kind of things, and this coming back to the closeness of like family, like it's not typical in Australia to go to uni outside of your city.
Ah, okay.
Not typical. Of course it happens and people will go overseas.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I lived in Melbourne. I went to school in Melbourne. I then went to the University of Melbourne.
Okay. And I hear it's a good university.
It is. Well, it's a good university.
Yeah.
At least it was. It just wasn't part of the culture, also particularly in like Jewish families, to like even move out of home, you know? So like I moved out of home very late compared to all my like non-Jewish friends.
Is it the kind of thing where you're expected to not leave the family home until you go off to start your own family?
Kind of.
Right.
Like it was kind of not so much. Like my generation, certainly my older cousins lived that way, but my generation, it was starting to be kind of fine to when you start. It's basically when you start full time work,
sure,
and then you can afford
to
kind of, you know, rent a place or whatever.
Yeah,
but that was, I mean, that was culturally the way it kind of existed. So I was around when my brother was at school because I was living there as well.
Sure.
And that caused a lot of conflict.
Interesting. So you got conflict. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't have a good relationship. But we're very similar. Like, you know, where he's, you know, quite into performing and
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, same with me and my brother. But my brother's form of performance is he's really into music.
Oh, lovely.
Which weirdly I sort of don't like music.
Yeah, not many people do.
Do you think?
No, I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, okay. That was really good acting. I didn't get that at all. That was really good. You are a performer. No, he's into music production.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. That's really interesting then.
I thought you meant like the general topic of music and then I was
music.
I was like, you know.
He just loves to listen.
Yeah.
He just loves it. No, he likes to make.
He likes to make. That's
likes
cool.
To make. Yeah.
Do you do music in your shows?
No. Do you know what I thought for this show? I might... The original idea I had for the show was that me and my brother were going to write a song to represent Spain at the Eurovision Song Contest. And I've sort of given up on that idea because I can't sing or play any instruments and I don't like to sing.
Mm. Oh,
so I'm
yeah.
not
well,
going to do it.
If you don't enjoy singing...
I'm not going to do it.
No.
If I didn't enjoy stand-up, I wouldn't do it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now you've moved over here... So this is your first or maybe biggest experience of being this far from family?
I've lived in different countries throughout kind of like, you know, in when I was in university,
yeah,
I moved away for a year. And mm-hmm. then when I got back, basically, yeah, in my last year of university, I moved to the other side of Melbourne. And I know that sounds quite strange, but that was very much like a moving away from the family or the yeah. cultural bubble that I was brought up in.
Sure.
Like I was brought up in a very homogenous way. Like most mm-hmm. people aren't brought up the way that I'm brought up. Like I was brought right. up in a, like living in an area that was mostly Jewish people. I didn't know any non-Jewish people at all.
Right.
I went to a Jewish school.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a very, yeah, it's an incredibly homogenous way to grow up. That
yeah.
you don't really, you know, and it wasn't until university that I was like, exposed to people from a different culture.
Yeah.
And then I moved on the other side of Melbourne and that was kind of me kind of trying to get away from my family, but not very well.
Mm-hmm. So you wanted to sort of get away from the family?
Yeah, well, that's the conflict. You yeah. do want to.
At
you
some
want,
point,
Because
yeah.
you want to grow up. You want to cut the cord.
Mm.
That's the thing. We all need to cut the cord.
But I think everyone's cords are different or like... Or they, some people have very...
Yeah, mine's like a fucking internet.
Yeah, some people have really thick cords yeah. and other people have very thin ones.
Yeah, mine's the one that, you know, that runs underwater, that connects the whole world together.
Oh, well, we can't chop your cords.
Well, I've been trying. It's so hard.
I need to Skype people. but I think some people, because I get in Cornwall, I think lots of people I know still live in Cornwall. I've got a few yeah. friends who moved away to do other stuff, but there's lots of people who still live there because it is that type of place where not many people move away. We've got everything that we need here, so why would we go? But I think people still want their own kind of breakaway moment, in the words of Kelly Clarkson, and so they cut the cord, but cutting the cord is different. So for you, cutting the cord might have been like moving away to a different area from the family, but then for some people it's like moving a couple of houses down the road. So like there's still a separation.
You know, that's the whole thing. Like, yes, that's kind of what the conflict is. Like, you know, how do you cut the cord?
Yeah.
Do you really want to cut the cord? Because you can move, in some ways you can move overseas.
Yeah.
And geographically you're quite far away, but you could be no closer to cutting the cord than if you move, you know, down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like, and what does that mean? What does cutting the cord mean? You know, we still want to have a relationship. So that's what I'm kind of conflicted about, like wanting yeah. to have a relationship, but also wanting to like get away from them.
Sure. And I think that is family. That is family. You love them. Go away. Yeah. I completely get that. So now sort of like, how does it feel being away from them? Are there any particular things that you miss about being in sort of that tight family unit?
There's a lot of there's a lot of comforts that I miss, you know, food and kind of like having big meals as a family was something that like I really enjoy.
Yeah.
So, you know, like grandmother's cooking and that type of stuff, you know, I miss that. It's just kind of that, like love, you know, you miss the love that you get from being in the presence of family.
And I think the word comfort's really good there. I will point out, I find Bailey's quite a comforting drink.
Yeah, it is.
And I associate it with Christmas. So in a way, I associate it with family, I think.
Yeah.
So typically when I'm drinking it, I'll be with family.
Mm.
But yeah, that's so true that families provide a lot of comfort. Is that, if you just think of family just as a notion, is that sort of like the first feeling that comes to mind, a sense of comfort?
Yeah. I'm feeling a bit lightheaded from the Bailey, so it's hard to know.
Yeah.
I think... Yeah, if I just think about family, it's like warmth, comfort, you know, familiarity and kind of support. But that's the conflict, because I feel like, you know, I think I'm quite different to the person I was a few years ago, and I don't think my family You know, I don't think I can't have, you know, it's difficult where you can't have the type of relationships you want with family members anymore. Like, you know, my mom drives me crazy.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of I think maybe a few years ago I would take her on about all these things. But, like, now I'm realizing that she's not going to change.
Right.
There's no point bringing it up.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to go, mm-hmm.
You think at some point you just accept your family is what they are.
Maybe that's what cutting the cord is. Acceptance.
Yeah.
That you can't change them.
That you can't change them. Is it like sort of ways of thinking that maybe our generation doesn't really do, or what is it that I don't want to just flat out ask you, what about your mum drives you crazy? But because I think lots of people have that with any where there's like a big age difference, like a big generational gap in patterns of thinking. I don't think I have this with my mum because I think she was quite not rebellious, but she had a very different method of like raising kids to her dad because she moved over here and she sort of did it all herself without the rest of the family being around. Mm. So maybe that's why there was sort of some freedom of it. Mm. But I definitely know people who their relationship with their parents is mostly lovely, but then every now and again they might go for dinner or it might be Christmas and they'll go over it and their parents will maybe express an opinion that they maybe disagree with. And you have to make the choice of like, I can let that slide or we're going to talk about something very political and then we're going to slam some cupboard doors.
No. Yeah. It's not that I mean that would be nice. You know what I mean? Like that's okay. Intellectually, okay. That's like quite, yeah. Like, that's just a difference of opinion with yeah. You know, no, this is more like ingrained cultural ways of viewing your children that have been passed down through, you know, thousands of years, I'd say. This is like, you know, mom, I want to move to London. How could you do this to us? How could you do this to me?
I see.
You know, this is crazy Jewish mother stuff, which I can say.
You can say.
I'm not to you know, not to sweep them all or colour them all with the same brush, but there's you know.
Yeah. We won't call this episode the Jewish episode or anything, don't worry.
No.
Although it is. No, I don't know. do you think
they just to go on like that, they see as like a sweeping generalization, some parents have a difficult time seeing their children not as extensions of them.
Mm. Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, not
their own beings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like some parents might take their child growing up as a rejection.
Mm. Right. Not following like a similar path to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just even leaving home.
Sure.
They're crazy, Sam.
I think you understand mentioned, what I mean? Yeah. Oh, I'm going to leave this pub with a whole bunch of prejudices.
Like I'm
not,
I don't know if I feel like I'm like, I feel the problem is I'm talking about something without giving enough information to kind of make it make sense.
I think it's I think it's relatable though.
Okay, good.
I think it's relatable to lots of people because like when we first started talking about this, you were saying like, oh, my family's crazy. Maybe that's a Jewish thing, but then also there's so many other cultures that would also come to the same conclusion. And the only difference is maybe certain values that cultures have that differ between each one.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only difference.
Yeah. I think like the ideal, like there are some cultures where the ideal life that they would like to live is that they would like to live in a house. And next door to them, living in the house next door to them is their children.
Sure.
And and they would see them every day.
Every day. Yeah.
And they would play with the grandkids. And you know, that would be their ideal life.
Have you ever seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yes, I have.
That's how the film ends, right?
You don't eat meat?
Doesn't it end like they buy them a house?
Yeah.
But the house is next door to their house, and that house has a Greek flag painted on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, there are these you know, it's not typical of Jews. It's these family centric cultures, yeah. Italians, Greeks, Jews, Indian families. You know, the family's very kind of important.
Do you think, are there any lessons either from the family or from that culture that you think do apply to you now that you maybe will take with you into whatever family you may or may not forge in the future?
Any lessons from my family?
From your family?
I mean, I just want to... Well, I think...
Great. That's a great way to save a moment. Of course you can.
Let me think. I've got a few answers.
Sure. I think I know one that I got from my mum, which I don't think is a cultural thing. It's a mum thing, is that she was raised Catholic, raised a particular way. And then when she moved to the UK, didn't raise me and my brother as Catholic because she thought it'd be best for us to grow up, learn a bit more about the world. And then if we wanted to, we could either become a part of the Catholic Church or we could join any religion that we saw fit. And she'd be like, yeah, fine. If you've made that choice for yourself, that's absolutely fine. But I always remember her saying to me, you should believe in good, not God. So I always think about that a lot. And if I were to have kids in the future, which I would like to, I think that's one thing that I would pass on to them.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And it's very interesting that like her rejecting... There's something about her rejecting her upbringing to say to you, I don't want to raise my kids that way.
Yeah, but also in a respectful way is like, she's not saying anything bad about necessarily how she was brought up. She was just saying like, I think a child maybe is not able to make this decision for themselves. So maybe it should be done later on. Because she was like, if you want to become religious, go for it. I'm just not going to force it on you. So that's always something I think about.
Okay, so similarly, like, I'd probably want to raise my kids in, like, a less homogenous way, like exposing them from a much more earlier age
to
different cultures. And then I would, try really hard to, you know, to try and realize that my kids aren't me or don't, you know, they're not me and they're their own people. You know, you've got to let your kids be who they are.
Yeah.
And unconditional love, very important.
Oh, of course.
Very
That's important. Lovely.
You say of course, but there are lots
of some people don't get it. No, yes. But I do think, I always think becoming a parent, the fun thing would be seeing like what becomes of the child. You're like seeing what they turn out as.
Yeah, totally.
You know? Like in a similar way to like a Pokemon or a Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I wonder what their stats will be. But, you know, like there's part of the fun, the mystery of like seeing what becomes of them.
I was going to say, this is where my head is at the moment. I was going to say like a comedy show, you know, what's it going to become?
Yes. What are the props going to be? Where are the musical stings?
Can we, can we tour it? So I think that,
lovely. Is there anything else you'd like to say on the subject of family before we wrap up? You've been very open. It's very deep.
I always, Ewan was here last time I got deep. I always get deep. I'm a very,
if you're going to get
silly,
deep,
silly man.
If you're going to get I'm deep, incredibly, you want Ewan in the room.
You want Ewan in the room?
Yeah.
You know me, Sam.
I'm sorry. Have I gone too deep?
So? No. Loved it.
For a very silly person, it's like, you know, I'm so silly on stage.
Yeah.
You would not expect me to be so serious.
But I think, well, maybe I would, but I think that's sort of the reason why I quite enjoy doing this with comedians, because I think it's really interesting to see how they feel about things when they're not performing, when they're not doing whatever it is they do on stage. Because we are real people at the end of the day.
We are.
Real people.
We are.
With actual families.
They can evoke a range of kind of feelings. Conflict is probably the overall, you know.
You think it's conflict?
I mean, often I'm overseas and I think I should call my mom, or I want to call my mom. Like I've got an urge to be like I want a caring voice to say, hi, how are you?
What's it's the going comfort on? Thing again. You know,
I want that comfort.
Yeah.
But I'm about to pick up the phone. I go, I'm not going to feel that way. I'm not going to get the comfort that I want. I'm just going to get annoyed at something.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just that constant kind of.
It's kind of like when you pick up a bottle of Bailey's.
Exactly.
And you think you're going to pour yourself a lovely, delicious glass. And then you look at the bottle and it's actually that weird chocolate mint flavor Bailey's. Exactly. That's just not going to hit the same.
Exactly.
It's just like that.
So what do? Yeah. You throw the bottle at the person that sold it to you.
Yes. You throw it out of the window at a moving car.
Yeah.
Yes.
And hope it goes through the windshield. Taking everyone.
Yes. The whole family in the car.
In the car.
You got to kill a family to make a family. I've always said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you live by it.
I sure do. I sure do. I'm a menace. I am. That was a lovely, I really enjoy talking about family there.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah. So did I. Yeah.
Good.
I felt a bit exposed.
Well, I mean, you've bore your soul and I'm very grateful for it. I'm going to ask you some random topics now, and I would like your quick fire feelings.
Okay, I'll
on
try
them.
And be funny. I'll be funny in these ones. Okay. All right.
The request is never to guess to. You don't have to be funny.
Of course not.
You'd be funny if you feel like
it. Of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Great. How do you feel about dark chocolate?
Love it.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, it depends on the percentage.
What's your percentage?
I'm not eating 100% cocoa.
You're not. You're not mental, no.
But I do like, you know, I'll go up to 85.
That is up there. That is up there. If I do dark, I'm not pushing 70.
I like it. And I also, you're not pushing 70?
Not pushing 70.
Really?
No. I'm a milky boy. If I want a sweet treat, it's going to be sweet.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I like kind of, I feel like it's a little bit, I feel like the darker, the healthier.
I've heard people say this before.
So I don't know whether that's true, but that kind of, you know, when I'm being naughty, I'm like, well, I can maybe be naughty in a good way. You know what I mean?
You can be a good naughty boy.
I can be a good naughty boy.
A good naughty boy.
Yeah, 80%, I'm a good naughty boy.
Do you go for a particular brand, like a Lindt or a...
Oh, there's a... I forget what it's called. It starts with an M. Mon... It's like a fancy.
Oh, okay. We've got like a French sounding name, maybe.
Oh, I forget. I'm so bad with brand names. I just kind of see the image.
I think Ewan might be googling.
Ewan, you googling?
I don't really know what to Google.
No, that's true. Actually,
yeah, yeah.
Dark chocolate M.
Yeah. We can edit this out. I kind of want to Google it now. Mon
Mars bar is what came up.
Well, I think they do a dark chocolate Mars bar.
Is it Montezuma's?
Yes.
Oh, Montezuma's. Yeah. I have heard of that, yeah, because it's...
Great brand. Delicious.
Love it. Big supporter.
Big supporter of Montezuma. And they do a... I just saw this. They do a 100%... Oh, no, that's 100% recyclable. Anyway.
Well, that's still good as well. That's still good. Okay. How do you feel about superhero films?
Love them.
You love them?
Yeah.
Yeah? Got a favorite superhero?
I mean, I'm pretty old school. What's my favorite? I love Batman.
Yeah.
No, I love is Indiana Jones a superhero?
No, but a good film.
He's not a superhero? No, he's not.
Because I don't well,
he doesn't have any superpowers.
No, he's just got a whip.
Yep.
And Sean Connery's his dad, so he's a Nepo baby as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love, I enjoy like, you know, like they're good fun. Like high concept, good fun.
High concept, a nice romp.
Yeah.
A bit of a romp.
I don't want to think.
No. Thinking's very much overrated.
I want to see someone, you know, shoot laser beams from their groin.
Did that happen in Indiana Jones?
Yes.
Did it?
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay.
It would happen in the porn version.
Oh, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Poon.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Indiana Jones and the Lost Dildo.
Where is it? It's up your butt again. How do you feel about crypto?
How do I feel about crypto? I don't know much about it.
No.
But I, you know, I did fuck this blockchain once, and let me tell you, what they're saying about the blockchain is right on.
Was it a tight blockchain?
We passed a lot of data. I know nothing about crypto, but I have actually bought crypto though.
Have you? Yeah. What one did you buy?
I bought during my hotel quarantine day.
Of course, it was Wank O'Clock, and then I bought.
There was this period of time where Dogecoin went through the roof.
Muskies won. Yeah.
So I arrived in Sydney into hotel quarantine.
Yeah.
In January 17th, 18th?
Sure. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, this is important for the price of Dogecoin. That's why I'm trying to be specific.
Someone could go look it up. Yeah. That's very true.
So I remember buying it at like 1 cent. And I think I sold it for like 8 cents.
That is okay. Well, that is an 800%.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big profit. It did go all the way up to 40 cents.
Did you just buy the one coin?
No.
A Doge?
I don't know. But I put a few hundred bucks in.
Oh, okay. And sold it all.
And sold all.
Oh, so you actually made a profit?
Yeah.
Wow. You were really smart.
No, well, it was pure luck and being in, like, it's gambling. Like,
it is gambling. You buy it, you try and buy it, low, sell high.
It's not, I had no idea what I was doing. But you know, I'm not, you know, so I'm familiar in that respect.
You're familiar. You've dabbled.
I've dabbled.
You've dabbled in the crypto. Very apt. Okay. How do you feel about going to buy something at the shop and then you put your card in and your card gets declined and you can't fix it and it's embarrassing?
You just put in another card?
Do you have another card? The one that you used to buy all of your dirty crypto?
So you got no cards,
you
nothing.
You've gone to the shop, you've just got one method of payment, the payment fails.
What do you do?
How do you feel?
Oh, how do I feel?
Yeah.
Pretty pissed off.
Pissed, angry. There isn't a right answer.
Do I know why it's failed? Do you know what I mean? If I don't know why, if I know why it's failed, then I think I feel a bit better about it. But if I'm like, why is this failing? This should be working. Is it your terminal? Is it my card? Then there's frustration.
That's an excellent point to make. Mm. I would say you don't know what's gone wrong unless you have like a Monzo or something. You know, when it sends you a little notification, it says declined at wherever you are. And then you tap it.
I would be pissed off. Yeah. I love instant gratification. I'm someone who gets their bike stolen and then has to go and buy a bike immediately.
You buy one right away. Do you get your bike insured?
Well, no, because I've got like a shitty bike.
Oh, okay. So you just buy a cheap bike and then just keep replenishing.
Well, they don't get, it doesn't, it hasn't been, I haven't had a bike stolen for a long time.
Oh, okay. But if it did happen.
I think the last time my bike, but I'm using it, Sam, to illustrate the feeling of needing to, of not wanting to be inconvenienced.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like if somebody killed your wife, you got to get out there and just get another
maybe
wife.
Maybe I would. Maybe really? I would. Yeah, maybe I'd be like, oh, I can't have this disruption to my routine.
Well, fair enough. You've gone through a lot. You should put yourself back out there again.
Exactly.
Final one. How do you feel about protractors?
Protractors?
Protractors. Am I saying it wrong?
You're saying it like there's a hyphen between pro and tractor.
Am I saying...
Like protractor.
Like protractor?
A protractor being...
The maths thing
that you turn and make it and turn into a circle.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also pro tractor. Like I believe in farmers' rights.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pro tractor. You know, I'm pro, you know, any agricultural tools.
Yeah.
I'm pro harvest, man.
I love crops.
I love crops.
Love crops. Sorry, I did mean the little two-legged.
Oh, that thing. I hate it.
Good. Speak your truth. Oh, that's embarrassing. Have I been saying it wrong for... I wonder if I've been saying it wrong for a long time.
No, you weren't saying it wrong. You were just putting a little bit of a gap.
I think I was giving it a little bit of a zhuzh.
You're giving it a bit of a zhuzh. You weren't saying it wrong.
Do you know what? It's because of our polarized society. I see a word that starts with P-R-O. I assume it's pro-something.
Yeah.
You got to pick a side. Yeah. There's no neutrality anymore.
You've been forced into a world of binaries, but you don't believe in such a world.
No. It could also be I'm just a bit thick, which I'm also fine with.
No, I don't think so. A man in glasses like that?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Oh, my God, he's an idiot.
Well, I think we've got enough there. Josh, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you and having a Baileys with you.
Sam, thank you for having me.
No, you're very welcome. Anytime you're in town, please stop by again. Do you have anything you'd like to plug for the listeners?
When's this going out?
That is a great point. Probably towards the end of March.
Great. I am about to do the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Stunning.
Please come and check me out there. And then I'll be back in the UK. I'll be doing, you know, work in progress shows at the Pleasance in London in early May, at McKinleth Comedy Festival.
Yes, MacFest, yes.
And around town. And then I'll be at the Monkey Barrel for Edinburgh.
Stunning. I'll see you there.
I'll see you there.
Lovely. What's the show called?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm dying because I'm so. They're talking about what evokes a strong emotional reaction.
Yeah.
I get a lot of joy from my titles, and I'm really struggling with this one.
Really? But you already pretty much have the show.
Not really. It'll change a lot, I'm sure.
All right.
It'll change a lot.
It'll find itself.
Yeah. I don't want a silly. Normally, I have silly names. Like, you know, Walla Walla Bing Bang or...
But that's fun. It's nice fun, to say. You had a show called Vroom Vroom?
Vroom Vroom, yeah. That's nice. Because it was a picture of me on a motorbike.
I remember, yes, yeah.
So I'm often informed by the image.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, yeah, I don't know. Let's stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Mm.
More updates to follow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As in the show's not called Stay Tuned.
No. People will look out for it. Where can they follow you?
At Josh Glantz or Josh... Glanc, glanc.com. In fact, in fact, one of the leading kind of titles is Josh Glanc, Josh Glantz. So my name is spelled GLANC.
Yeah.
But you pronounce it Glantz. So yes. The title would be Josh, GLANCE.
Got it. Okay. Yes.
Do you get what
spelled
I mean?
Spelt like it sounds.
Spelt like it sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not after this response.
I love to be part of the creative process.
Yeah. Well, it's it's a really good title. We have to spend 3 minutes explaining it. It's really easy to sell.
Yeah. We'll fit on a poster. Lovely. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Sam.
You can follow me at Mrs. Sam Lake. You can follow the pod at I've Had a Rosé on all platforms. I'm doing stuff in places. You find it out. I think I'm on tour when this comes out. I probably will be. So go see me on tour. That would be nice. And we'll see you again for another episode. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Hello.
Oh, he's quirky. Thanks for listening to another episode of I've Had a Rosé, Let's Talk About Feelings. Well, I assume you've listened to the episode. If not, hope you're enjoying your nap. If you did enjoy the episode, why not subscribe to it on your favourite podcast platform? And if you really enjoyed it, why not leave us a nice review there whilst you're at it, specifically on Apple Podcasts or Spotify? It would really help us out. And of course, you can tell people about the show and tag us using the handle I've Had a Rosé. You can also follow us on all forms of social media where we're posting our favourite clips from the show and extra little bits of content here and there. Thanks so much for listening and see you again for the next episode.